Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast of Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Good. This is for season 4, episode 8. Hermanos, I think is how you maybe pronounce that. What do you think of this episode?
I enjoyed this. We get to see a different side of Gus this episode, a much younger Gus, which is an interesting experience, sort of not the Gus we know. So getting to see that version of him, I think, is quite nice. Plus, you know, you've got things going on with bits and pieces with Walt. You've got little bits with Jesse, but it's a much more Gus sort of centered episode, which is never a bad thing, I don't think, in this. I mean, who could complain with an episode that's focused around Giancarlo Esposito? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been, well, not asking for, because all the episodes are done anyway, but kind of what the, something that we like. Yeah, I thought this episode was great, again, just does all the usual great Breaking Bad things. You've got lots of progression, with each of the characters, particularly great car scene as well, which I really liked. Again, this was an episode that I remembered portions of, like I remembered the pool scene, but I didn't remember what happened. Like I remembered some of those characters' names and loosely what goes on. We saw Hector again, which we hadn't seen for a bit, which was great. Like you said, Giancarlo, him popping up as Gus is always a very, very good thing. Walt trying to just navigate everything is really, really good as well. And perhaps a bit of a turning point for Jesse. I can't remember exactly where he goes with sort of, I guess, hiding certain things from Walt. Can't quite remember exactly where that goes. So that'll be interesting to see. Another really, really great episode. What was the other thing that happened as well? All the DEA stuff. Skyler's sort of plans with, is it vacuuming? You call that process?
Vacuum packing, I would say.
Yeah, it's a lot of different reasons that people sort of do that, so that was cool to see. And it's interesting to see the bags in the underneath the floor, whatever you'd call that area. That was very interesting for
crawl
certain
space,
reasons.
I think the Americans call it, yes.
Right, yeah. It's like a really, really small basement, I guess.
Well, we don't really have them here.
We have attics, don't we? So,
well, it's not even really that. It's something to do with the way Americans build wood houses. They sort of end up with a crawl space underneath the house, so it's sort of built on kind of a stilts or a platform. And it's probably to do with the fact that they build a lot of wood houses over there, and they're not a thing in the UK because we build everything out of brick. So, they're not really a thing over here, but you see it quite a lot in American homes. So, yes, it's not really a basement or a thing. It's literally under the house. So,
yeah, it's just like a small, very small, very awkward to get to as well, looks like storage space. We have attics, and they're above the houses, aren't they? Which I think is more convenient, I suppose. Although basements are mostly just used for horror scenes in things.
that is true, yes.
Yeah. Something always down there in the basement. All right, that's it for the pre-talk and stuff. Got the recap to get to and some housekeeping. Let's go to that next. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, we did a Gaming Talk podcast yesterday, and we had some big news, and we were trying to sort of remember and recap all the big stories we'd sort of covered on Gaming Talk over the, well, 9 years, almost 10 years we've been doing the podcast. But Halo is officially on its way to PlayStation. We both had some thoughts on that. I talked about Game Pass and things like that as well, but yeah, that's the big one that we've been waiting for. Xbox has been putting more of their games on PlayStation slowly. They did put a Forza game on there at one point and a Gears of War game. So it was sort of, you know, when is it going to drop that a Halo game is going to be on PlayStation? This isn't, by the way, for people that are a bit out of loop on gaming, this isn't a normal thing for companies to be doing, but Xbox is in a bit of a different era. Anyway, we talked about all that and the fact of, you know, Master Chief on PlayStation and stuff like that. I also talked about Crash Bandicoot as well. There's a lot of rumors from a lot of different places about a Netflix show being in development, animated Netflix show, and we talked about infected characters and things like that as well, because we were talking about Kronos New Dawn, and of course I brought up some other apocalyptic stuff. We talked about that and Ubisoft and a bunch of other things as well, so you could check that one out. Over on the United Cast, things seems to have taken a change for the better. We've now gone from not being able to win 2 games back to back in the Premier League to winning 3. So we beat Brighton by 4-2. Interesting situation. We went 3-0 up. We were kind of cruising. Some odd subs from the manager. Kind of lost control of the game. Went to 3-2. But then we smashed one in at the end, making it 4-2. We do play away against Nottingham Forest against Sean Dyche has taken them over. He's usually quite a tough manager. So we'll see how that goes on Saturday. Over on some TV season reviews, I reviewed the 3rd season of Invasion, gave that a light. Well, it's not really light must-see, it's just must-see. Because there's strong must-see and then there's must-see. So do with that what you will. For that, it's not yet been renewed for season 4, but if it does end there with the last episode, season 3, episode 10, it's a half-decent place to leave the series. But yeah, things just got back on track and it was just a good show to go through. So I enjoyed that over on Apple TV+. Of course, some other things also not renewed yet, but finishing the Diabolical 7 for Gen V, which is, of course, the Boys spin-off, had its season finale, season 2, episode 8. Not to go on a different course here, but any little thoughts on the finale episode?
I haven't actually watched it yet, so oh. I can't say one way or another. I'm way behind on Gen V. I've got a few episodes to catch up on, so it is on my list of things. I'm just slowly working through everything of just because the madness of the last couple of weeks and then Comic-Con and yeah, so
yeah.
I haven't quite got around to it yet, but I'm way behind on some of my TV watching, so yes, hopefully I'll have watched it before we do Geek Town Radio this week.
Cool. But yeah, it's not yet been renewed for season 3. However, there is a 5th and final season of The Boys, and that stuff is sure to go to crossover to that show, been some setup and all that kind of stuff. So there's that. Of course, more Breaking Bad podcasts. On Gaming Talk last week, we talked about Quantic Dream making another video game, but it is a free-to-play 3v3 hero shooter, which we talked about last week, which nobody seems like they wanted that. Don't know why they made that, but we just talked all about that and some other stuff. And of course, over on the United Cast, what was the 2nd of the 3 new wins in a row was weirdly away against Liverpool. Football's just a weird thing. You just, yeah, sometimes. But we haven't won there since 2016 away at Anfield, which is when Wayne Rooney was still playing for us. But yeah, we showed up. Liverpool didn't. They had too much talent on the pitch and they didn't know what to do with it. And we beat them by 2-1. So there was that one. And oh yeah, one more thing, which is my skip rating review for Metal Gear Solid Delta. Various different reasons that I gave that a skip rating. But that's what we've been up to in entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into this recap. During a bit of a flashback, Gus Fring invites hints to Hector that he orchestrated the deaths of Leo and Marco. Leo, Marco and Juan Bolsa. Walt and Gus talk about Walt's family and all that kind of stuff. I think these were two connected scenes because it starts off with Walt and Gus talking and there's, you know, the hush-hush talk of, you know, shake my hand and all that sort of stuff. I believe it is then... Yeah, so that happens. You see a little cheeky bit of, I think it's probably Mike. He sort of dumps like a syringe or... something like that into a disposal box, and then everybody kind of watches this guy die on the outside of the window, and then you have Gomi, who was just, you know, good riddance kind of thing, I suppose. So that was interesting. And then I think it's a little bit at some point later, Gus goes to Hector and tells him that he was kind of the one that did it. So yeah, some sly scenes in here, I suppose. It is always interesting again with Gus in terms of and it very much does come up more in this episode than any others so far, this kind of hiding his, you know, true self kind of thing, the sort of businessman cover that he kind of does. Again, I don't think he's got sort of a Heisenberg alter ego. He's just got different sort of masks that he puts on, I think. I don't think it's the same thing with Walt in terms of, you know, breaking bad into becoming Heisenberg. Plus Gus has been doing this for a very, very long time and he sort of knows what he's doing in that. But I quite like the sneaky little scene in here of because Walt's essentially saying like he's worried about his family, because of course this is when the cousins went for Hank and everything, and you know, Hank barely, I think that was what, an episode last season, 1 minute it was called or something, season 3 episode, with the car park and everything. So yeah, very, very good, interesting start and kind of lead into what comes up later regarding Gus and everything else, I suppose. What do you think of these couple of scenes here?
Yeah, it always throws me when they do like straight into a sort of flashback thing, because you do think, wait, have I clicked the wrong episode? have I somehow gone back a season? Yeah, so, that sort of threw me slightly at the start, but I couldn't remember how much of this we'd already seen from previously, because, you know, am I remembering it from having seen this episode before, or am I remembering it from having seen it previously? So I couldn't quite remember with that. But, you know, the stuff of sort of him, that kind of scene in the hospital, and then you've got... Hector and Gus talking, which is always fun to see, because Gus rather gleefully kind of likes taunting Hector. Understandably, we know the reason why by the end of the episode. There is a little sort of classic cold open bit right at the end of that, because you see there's a few seconds of the blood in the pool at the end of that before the credits come up. And you're like, that's, you know, had they just opened with just like the blood in the pool, that would have been a completely sort of standard classic, you know, cuddly toy floating in the bear floating right in the water sort of thing. But I thought that was quite an interesting way of opening the episode this time around. And, you know, we get more flashback stuff later, although much further back, so.
yeah. I like the sly little thing from Mike as well. You sort of see him off on the side, because, of course, everyone's attention is on the room and everything, so I thought that was great. That's another one of the, that's one of them Breaking Bad ones that, like, I don't need to know, you know, how Mike got the syringe, where he got it from, how he got in the room, because I just know that he can just do
do that. Yeah.
Things like that. So, unlike other, you know, say lesser shows that would kind of just sort of slot it in there in a weird sort of way. So, yeah, mm-hmm. very good start. In the present, Gus meets with the police and DEA and is told his fingerprints were found at the scene of a homicide. Gus summarizes that the crime at issue is the killing of Gail Bedeker. Gus then explains that Gail was a representative of a University of New Mexico college scholarship. That's a lot of stuff. In chemistry Gus created. And that his fingerprints were in Gail's apartment because Gail had recently invited him over and asks for money. Hank asks if Gustavo Fring is his real name, as there are no records of it in his native Chile, native land. Gus says the Pinochet, dictatorship kept poor records. Interesting excuse. The investigators are satisfied, but Hank, you can see he's still not quite satisfied himself with that. And obviously we see later what his next move kind of is. Just want to say it's really, really nice going from, you know, the slow mineral bidding kind of depressed Hank. And again, I understand why that was there and that was all necessary and stuff. But seeing that sort of, it's not really what you'd call character development. It's more just kind of he was in one situation, then time passed, time healed, and all that sort of thing. And, you know, opportunities came up and he kind of got his groove back. But seeing him go from that to this is it's just really quite nice. Granted, obviously, you can see by, at least from this episode, that it's interesting the point that Hank finds himself in this series, let's say up to this point, because he's kind of in the way of our main protagonist in a way. That's what makes that conflict kind of interesting. I mean, from day one, the whole sort of he's gonna get into Walt's gonna get into the whole drug thing, but then my brother-in-law is a DEA agent. That's like a really, really big obstacle. I guess always puts like that interesting spin on things for Breaking Bad, I suppose. But yeah, you can tell he's not quite done and he wants to keep digging further. Again, fantastic acting from everybody involved. Again, the sort of cleanness of Gus's character and, of course, Giancarlo's acting towards it. Always just a massive pleasure to see. And it's interesting as well when you've got different scenes with Gus in the way of, not in the way of the sort of the drug dealer man and then the businessman, but the sort of, he goes in there, cool, calm, collected, doesn't seem to quite know what he's in there for, but of course he's got like his, you know, backup answers and that sort of thing. And he goes in there with the whole sort of smiley, how can I help you, how can I be of assistance, because I think if he goes in there and says like, oh, I can't help you, this, that and the other, it obviously starts to look suspicious. But then you go from that to him trying to explain the Gale thing and then the second thing with the records and all that, and does get like a little bit challenged, and the sort of, again, the facial acting from him and everything, of like, oh, I've been kind of caught out a little bit, this is a bit of a surprise, and then, oh no, sorry, it's this, it's that kind of thing. It's the first time in a minute that we've seen Gus be sort of challenged in that way, because, you know, for the most part it's him being the sort of kingpin, or him being cool, calm and collected in charge of Los Pollos. So this is the first time for a while he's been sort of like, I don't know if legally challenged is the right word, but sort of, you know, investigated and has to come up with answers. So I thought that was pretty great. His answers are kind of interesting. There's a bit of a scene, I think it's later with Mike, when Mike is kind of, he says something about this as well. But no, I quite like this. I quite clearly sort of remembered this scene as well, but I didn't remember where exactly it was. But I remembered like Gus being in a room with all these people and being asked about something, but I couldn't remember what it was. So very interesting stuff. Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like this scene. There's some very interesting stuff that comes out. I mean, generally it is Gus holding things together, and, you know, he knows he's got to go in because not going in would look incredibly suspicious. The answer that he gives is perfectly reasonable, as is Hank's questioning of the fact that why is he only giving us this story now? You know, he's been all, Gail's been all over the news. You would have thought he would have picked up the phone, you know, given his close ties to the police, which is a perfectly valid point. But then also they're sort of saying, well, we can't arrest somebody for not having called us, you know. So, I mean, Hank's reasoning behind that is perfectly decent, I think. And the whole story does make a lot of sense, and even the Pinochet stuff makes a certain amount of sense. Although it's very interesting when it comes to Gus and that regime. For those that you don't know, the Pinochet regime was this authoritarian military dictatorship in Chile, and you know, ran for 17 years, I think. So they were sort of quite violent, brutal regime. There is some suggestion that Gus may have had some involvement with that regime, and there have been hints of that throughout as well, which is kind of interesting given how Gus sort of handles himself and might explain. I mean, there is certainly if not a series, another movie that you might not have like Carlos Esposito in it because you'd need a younger actor, but that there is definitely a movie in the sort of rise of Gus and why he ends up in the US and how he gets into the position that he gets to about his background in that regime. I think there is certainly a story there which could still be told. So you never know. I mean, I don't expect them to go back to this universe anytime soon, but at some point in the future, that's certainly one way that I think you could go back into the Breaking Bad universe of sort of the rise of Gus at some point, or the rise and fall of Gus, or, you know, some sort of early life of his. I think there is certainly something in there. So him using that and his excuse for, you know, they kept poor records, and it is true. I mean, as Hank says, you know, we've run into this before, but the fact that we found absolutely nothing is suspicious. So either he's wiped it himself, or he did something in the Pinochet regime which they covered up. And whether that was a spy or whether he was a general and he's now in hiding, that's a sort of very interesting one. So it does raise a bunch of very interesting questions about Gus's background in this. But, you know, the main excuse of what happened with Gale sort of holds up, apart from the fact that Hank's absolutely right. Why didn't he come forward to tell us this story earlier when they first knew about Gale? So yeah, there's a lot of very interesting things in there, but it's really well done, and you know, Giancarlo's fantastic acting once again in this scene. So yeah, it's really interesting to see that.
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah, just brilliance overall. And I just like the even before this scene starts, you kind of know that Hank's just going to kind of keep going with this no matter what. So I thought that was quite cool. Before we get back to Hank, though, just a small little scene. Skyler begins to hide Walt's money in a crawl space below the house. There's some I can't remember exactly what they're called, but the ones that you put when you put clothes into, like the black. I couldn't quite see if these were actually just black bags or the ones that you like put suits in and stuff. But obviously she's using this to hide the money, which, again, from last week when Walt turns up and is like, hey, I've got loads and loads and loads of money, and Skylar did the whole, well, we can only put it somewhere. And I remember pointing out last week that the safe that they were putting some of the money into, probably not all of it, but some of it into, looked really, really tiny, and it looked like they were filling it up really quickly. So it was interesting, this following on from that, because Walt does the sort of, well, are you in this or are you not? And she just tries to come up with the alternatives. I mean, that's the thing. If you are earning that kind of money, you know, cash in hand, and you can't go loading it into the bank because obviously they'll start asking questions if you start doing something like that, You had the whole issue of the car wash, but you can't put too much money into it. And we talked about casinos and stuff. So you've physically got to store it somewhere, I suppose. And this is, I think this is a pretty good place to put it. I don't know if they did get investigated. But then again, because you do, there's this sense that you get as well from the previous scene of this and this scene that, okay, let's say we hide money in like 10 different places because there is that much of it. If, let's say, 3 of them get spotted, it almost doesn't kind of matter because Walt's getting so much that you can just keep hiding them, I guess, in different spots. Which, not the same thing, but that it kind of reminded me as well of, you know, when Jesse noticed that money was gone. And I know he had his troubles and he was probably high and whatever else. And it was sort of, he wasn't bothered because he's got so much anyway. So it's almost kind of the same thing here, but interesting that this goes into the crawl space, just say that. So what do you think of the plan here and the scene?
It's as good a plan as any. I mean, you know, using those sort of vacuum pack bag things to hide the money, put clothes over the top of it. I mean, she does try to hang them up in a wardrobe and then ends up having to put them under the house because of the fact that they're too heavy for the wardrobe, which I thought was quite funny. But it makes as much sense as hiding it anywhere else, I guess. And you're right, I mean, if they end up hiding it in all sorts of different places, there is so much money involved that should some of it get found, it's not really the end of the world. I mean, he's not going to be happy about it because he's Walt, but I mean, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they were hiding money in various different places. So yeah, I mean, given Skylar's not really got anywhere else to put it, I think it sort of makes sense.
Yeah especially with, you know, like how American houses are sort of much bigger than ours over here, and they also have just more room for stuff. Mm-hmm. There's probably, even just in the house, probably quite a lot of different places you could put money into, other little safes and put them in different corners and stuff. So
in the walls themselves is the other way, of course.
Anyways, go back to Hank. Hank asks Walt to drive him to a mineral show. Seems kind of unreasonable, but reveals en route that he is really going to Los Pollos Hermanos to plant a GPS tracker on Gus's car. Hank, you're unknowingly getting very much in the way. Walt pretends to plant it and goes inside, where he assures Gus that he did not plant it. Gus tells him to do it. So Walt plants the tracker on his way back to his car, and then Mike is in a car next to them observing the situation. I remembered some of this. I did not remember Mike pulling up in the way that he does. That was almost kind of funny in a way. But it's interesting to see kind of like Gus is almost completely aware that this is happening, and then of course does his own thing by putting it on the bin, I think it is, later. And then Mike almost pulls up to kind of, whether that was just specifically to tail Hank's car, Walt's car, I think it was, or had something else going on, or maybe both. And then also kind of interesting, like he comes back and he's like, oh, I just wanted to make, you know, check it was actually in there properly, and then all that kind of happens. This is very, very much full on nervous Walt, like the whole way through. There is absolutely no Heisenberg here, there's no confident Walt, there's no looks of confidence. This is a full-on kind of, he doesn't panic, but it's sort of very much like, oh, I've got myself trapped in this sort of situation. So it's interesting that kind of like this comes up, and Walt doesn't really, apart from the whole fake out, like go to Gus to give it to him, which is a pretty good idea, I suppose. Because Walt's probably also thinking that, okay, if I plant this here and then simply walk back, or plant it and then walk in and not say anything and then walk back, and it gets found later, he's really going to be in some trouble for that. And of course, there's already the worry from Walt about sort of what Jesse's up to and where Gus's loyalties lie and where Jesse's loyalties lie and things like that. There's the whole cigarette thing going on as well, which I think we'll talk about in a minute. I love the camera angles and the camera work here as well. You very much kind of get like full focus Walt, and then there's like a slightly blurred Hank, and then it changes now and again to show you Mike just kind of looking like he's just sort of sitting there. Which of course Hank's got no reason to turn around and, you know, shout out to this guy and all that sort of thing. Then you've got Gus's kind of, I guess Gus immediately had the idea of, okay, as soon as they go away, I can obviously just move that and then deal with it that way. Interesting plan and interesting execution all around. And again, I cannot remember when this comes back up or what happens with this. So I guess we'll see. One of the highlight scenes of the episode, there's a lot of like interesting little bits going on here and camera work and full on nervous Walt doing the kind of, I mean, how many times has he now walked up to that counter not intending to get food and done the sort of, I want to see the boss or something to report? It's happened like 5 or 6 times by now, right? So anyway, what do you think of this scene?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting little scene, and Gus's reaction to it of sort of telling him to put it on the car, it sort of makes sense, because the track is only an issue if you don't know it's there. If you know it's there, you can easily remove it, stick it on another car, do what he does, which is go and stick it on the side of the bin when he decides to move. You know, it's only really a problem if he doesn't know the tracker's there. It's actually quite useful if he does know the tracker's there, because it gives him a way of misdirecting Hank as well. You know, if he wants to send Hank off on a wild goose chase, he sticks it on another car and it goes off in an entirely different or innocent direction, you know. So there are things that he could do with it. So it's actually quite clever of Gus to say, no, put it on the car. And again, like you say, there is absolutely no sign of Heisenberg here. This is very much Walt.
Full
on nervous Walt. So
season one, but that's like a
no,
like
but
a
get it,
man.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
How do you think Gus specifically knows? Do you think Mike was intentionally tailing the car, and then because all he'd have to do is send a quick message of like, Walt's outside, keep an eye out or something?
Quite possibly. Or they're sort of keeping an eye on Hank, obviously, I would have thought at this point. So
right, especially after that meeting, I suppose.
Yeah. And they know Hank is suspicious, so I suspect they're just keeping an eye on Hank, and then, you know, Hank and Walt are both there, so there will have been a conversation at some point of like, hey, he's outside, you know, that sort of thing. So
I suppose for this one, because Jesse's got history with Hank, if this was like, hey, come along for the ride, and Hank spots Jesse in a car with someone, that would like start raising questions and that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is the sort of thing that Mike does for Gus, the sort of tailing, quiet sort of thing. So, wonder how much time in Mike's life he's spent just like waiting in cars, watching things.
A lot, I suspect.
Quite a lot, yeah. Brilliant, brilliant scene here. Speaking of Jesse, I think that's what's next. Walt warns Jesse about Hank's investigation and again urges him to kill Gus. Because apparently to Walt, it's just that simple. While at Jesse's house, Walt intercepts a message meant for Jesse and suspects Jesse is becoming loyal to Gus. Again, rage on in the background. No gun prop here, although I did notice the Xbox controller on the sofa. So anyway, that was cool to see. I guess he's not finished the game yet. This is where things start to maybe like actually tip a little bit, because from the start it was kind of, hey, this is me and you, gotta get Hank out the way. Of course Gus wasn't around at that point in like season one, and we're gonna try and do what we're gonna try and do. Very, very interesting sort of loyalty balances here and everything. What else was I gonna say about this? The whole cigarette thing, just like the way Walt here sort of, oh, you haven't done this yet, and sort of taps the cigarette thing. Part of me doesn't quite get, and I get that there's probably panic from him as well. In terms of like what Gus is doing, especially what's just happened, this whole car park shenanigan thing. But again, I'm finding this angle from Walt with the whole cigarette thing very interesting, because it's sort of, I almost wonder if at one point, although Walt doesn't really have any chance to see Gus at the moment, if Jesse turns around and goes like, "Hey, if you're so eager, maybe do this yourself or something." If he does that, I don't think he does, but that would be an interesting play on that. Like, I get Walt's idea. It's okay, you're becoming closer to Gus, you're seeing him a bit more. We need to kill him because he's obviously dangerous. So you just pop this in a drink or something, which, yeah, the concept of that idea is obviously very interesting. Just a quick, drop that in and that's good to go. But you got to be in the position to do it. You've also got to unwrap that cigarette as well. Like, it's not a sort of, I don't think it would be a quick thing to do, because while, okay, Jesse, let's say he's around Gus, which he was last episode, him taking out a cigarette packet, okay, not the most strangest thing Jesse could do. It's not like he's pulling out a gun or something. But then if it's, okay, he's got to open it while he's opening it, where is Gus? And then make sure he actually picks the right one. I know it's got a blatant kind of thing on it, but make sure he does that. Then, make sure he doesn't drop it when he takes it out the packet or something. There's all kind of things that could go wrong with the setup there. But it's interesting Walt's kind of, again, I know it's the panicked part of it, but like, hey, you need to just get this done as if it's really easy. Which I guess kind of is pushing Jesse closer to the kind of, okay, what he's doing with Gus and with Mike is working. He's on their good side at the moment, so that's like pushing him over there a little bit, I guess. Anyway, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, Walt has sort of done quite a lot to try and protect Jesse, and then he's now, feels like he's maybe losing him a bit. So I can sort of see, and he's very paranoid. I mean, it's kept him alive so far, so I understand why he's quite paranoid. Plus, people are trying to do want him dead and all that sort of stuff. So I, yeah, and they're dealing with Gus and Mike and all that sort of thing. So, I understand where Walt paranoia is coming from, and Jesse is lying to him, as he discovers. So yeah, it's interesting. I can't quite remember where this dynamic completely ends up, and what happens exactly with that sort of stuff, or what happens with the ricin cigarette. I completely blanked that from memory, so it's going to be interesting to find that out. And I mean, Jesse's sort of right in that. I mean, it's a very, very dangerous thing he's asking you to do. I mean,
Oh
if they kill, if he kills Gus and it is in any way traced back to him, he's a dead man. So, and Walt's sort of, oh, just do it, just kill him, sort of thing. He's, yeah, it's a strange kind of, I mean, I get why he's panicking. He doesn't want Hank being killed, but he's putting Jesse in an awful lot of danger as well by doing this, having previously tried to sort of protect him. So it is a it's yeah, Walt's ego again, sort of kind of not valuing Jesse's life very much. So yeah, it's an interesting one that I can't quite remember how, where that resolves itself. So it's an interesting one to watch.
We shall see. Da, 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 da. Yep, that's that bit. Gus visits Hector in the nursing home. A flashback shows Gus and Max meeting with Hector Bolsa and Don Eladio. Gus and Max pitch their meth scheme to Eladio. Max, a chemical engineer, produces the meth. Max and Gus sell it out of their restaurant, Los Pollos Hermanos. Eladio feels Gus was disrespectful by giving meth samples to Eladio's henchmen in order to manipulate Eladio. In a meeting, Hector shoots Max through the head and forces Gus to look him in the eyes as he bleeds into the pool. It's a lovely thing to do. Eladio tells Gus the only reason he's still alive is because Eladio knows who he really is and warns him that he is not in Chile anymore. Or Chile anymore. Yeah, I remembered this scene in a way. I just couldn't remember exactly what happened, but I think there's more than one actual flashback scene between these characters, so maybe there was other ones as well. I mean, I guess it's cliche to say, like, okay, I remember somebody dying in this scene, I think. I just couldn't remember, like, exactly who it was. But interesting to see, you know, the past version of Hector, different side of that, how this whole business thing goes down, different side to Gus as well. Because you don't have... I mean, I guess you do have the sort of... Again, you got the Giancarlo thing in there, because obviously still playing him. But you don't have, like, the confident kingpin man. You don't have the sort of calm businessman version either. You've almost got one that's sort of in between that. Like, someone who's, like, trying to do what he's doing, but he's very much just kind of in the middle of things, but more nervous than anything here. But yeah, interesting to see this little kind of flashback and see where things, like the origin of certain things, kind of started. And yeah, of course, when it comes to Gus and Hector, the sort of long rivalry there, and you get the little flashback scene earlier with the whole nursing home stuff. Because in a way, Gus does win this in terms of... Well, Hector's the one that ends up in a wheelchair. Gus is the one that ends up with the two successful businesses. And then, of course, there's the whole cousins thing as well, because both of those get killed, and Gus kind of wins that in the end, which, I guess for Hector, I mean, he's kind of always been angry in a way, but the interesting kind of bit of, okay, he can't talk back to Gus, literally, like when he goes to see him later, he's just got the bell thing. Although the wheelchair version of Hector is always, like, grunty and moody anyway. I guess kind of understandable, but you don't have the sort of confident, you know, cartel boss thing going on that you do in this flashback. But overall, up to this episode, yeah, you could say that Gus has sort of won so far, just had to kind of go through this, unfortunately, I guess. Anyway, what did you think of this scene?
Yeah, I do really like this scene. It's very, very interesting to see this sort of younger, less confident version of Gus. The line about, you know, we're not in Chile anymore, I know who you really are, it again comes back to this thing about, was he actually well known in by certain people in Chile? I mean, I think Salamanca at some point, Hector actually refers him to Grand General Generalissimo or something. You know, which is a sort of mocking title, but again, does make you wonder whether he was somehow attached to the regime, and maybe that's something that maybe saved him. The relationship between him and Max, Gus and Max, is interesting as well, because for those of you that didn't know, the Los Panos, the what's the name of the restaurant, the Los Polios Hermanos, literally means the Chicken Brothers. So Max, of course, was the brother essentially of the Chicken Brothers, although there is rather some suggestion that it was probably a relationship that the two of them were in. Mm-hmm. Which would fit the character, I think. You could sort of see that maybe of Gus. And so... Yeah, that's another thing which has never been actually officially confirmed, but the actors have sort of said that, yeah, we think that's probably what it was, but they've never actually out and out said that. So I think that's kind of interesting. So you've then got this situation where, they've gone this kind of sneaky route of getting this meeting by, giving these samples away, and that's been the way to get the kind of meeting. But it's ended up with Gus and the man who is probably his lover being shot in the head. And you start to see all the sort of, okay, I see why he hates Hector so much now. That sort of brings this interesting extra dynamic to that whole relationship between the two of them. And of course, in Better Call Saul, you see more background of how Hector ends up in the wheelchair as well, if you've not seen Better Call Saul yet, but that is in there. So yeah, the whole dynamic here is really quite interesting, and it's wonderfully played through that scene, with the flashback and when you get back to Gus and Hector in the present day as well. So I rather liked how they did all that. So I think you're right. I think there are some more flashback scenes, and we do see some of that. The actor that plays, just for those that might be wondering, because I was thinking, I'm sure I've seen that guy's face before, the guy that plays Max. James Martinez is his name. And if you've seen Dexter Original Sin, which is the prequel series of the various Dexter seasons, he plays the younger version of Angel in that show. He was also in Love, Victor as well, which I didn't see, but I know you were a fan of.
I think I remember him from that, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, Armando, he was in that apparently.
Okay.
So,
One of the dads of the characters, maybe?
maybe I
I think
yes,
so, yeah.
I know I didn't see the show. He's in House of Cards as well. So, yes. But yeah, that's I was trying to place the face because I knew I'd seen him in something recently. But yes, he played the young version of Angel Batista in Original Sin. So worth going to watch that if you're a Dexter fan and you haven't caught it yet. Definitely worth checking out.
Nice. And worth checking out Love, Victor as well, of course, on
Yes.
Hulu / Disney Plus, depending on where you live. So, I mean, Star isn't a thing anymore, is it? So, Hulu on Disney Plus or
Yes.
Hulu, which can also be on Disney Plus because of the bundle. Anyway,
Yeah.
there's that. In the present, a little wrap-up scene there. Gus tells Hector to look him in the eyes, but Hector refuses and says, maybe next time, Gus says, before departing. There's one more kind of sticking it to him, I suppose. This is obviously because of after what's happened with the cousins. Both of them are gone, and again, this is Gus winning in terms of this, because again, Hector can't really, literally can't do anything apart from basically ring his bell, and all you get from Hector is the sort of getting muted sort of grunts, I suppose, unfortunately. Although Hector's a nasty character, so it's not really unfortunate. But yeah, it's yeah, always kind of interesting when these two, I guess, come face to face and have that rivalry between them, which, as we know now, has been going on for many, many years. It's also not just between the two of them; it's obviously the two families as well. So, which again, you also see more of in Better Call Saul. There's a character called, what was his name? Lalo, I think it was, played by was the
Yes.
guy from Far Cry 3, and was also he's the one that does the hey insanity over and over again, expect different results. The definition of
Yes.
insanity. Yeah, he also was it Scorpion in the MCU? I think he's coming back for what's the new one called? Something Home.
Doomsday.
No, the next Spider-Man film.
Oh,
Brand New Day, that's it.
Brand New
Yeah.
Day, yes.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be returning for that, as are about 15 other people. But yeah, he's also kind of involved in that and involved in this. So obviously there's history there, but you see that in Better Call Saul. So any thoughts on this last scene?
Not an awful lot. I mean, other than it's always interesting seeing the two of them together, and that's, I mean, that must have been a a very interesting role for the actor that plays Hector to sort of get offered, as it sort of, you know, it basically, you know, because he's a fully functioning actor as we see in Better Call Saul until this accident, accident in quotes, happens, and puts him in the wheelchair. So yeah, I mean, I wonder what that sort of, the sort of getting the script for that and having to do that acting must be like. But yeah, really, really good scene. It's always good to see Gus kind of needling Hector, I think. He's not a good man.
True. Alright, cool. So at the end of the episode, we have a couple of bits of feedback. Again, in terms of feedback, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk. We're on most things, so go and find us on there. And there's information in your show notes. Of course, write in about the episodes. What did you think of them? Have you seen Better Call Saul? What do you know from that show? And is this your first or second or whatever time through Breaking Bad? Josh first says, love the episode. Almost chuckled slightly when Mike pulled up and Walt was almost stuck in a way. By the way, I've not seen Better Call Saul. Should I start it before or after you guys finish Breaking Bad? Well, we don't know when that will be. When we'll finish. Because we've also got to make the choice of, because we finish this, assuming we do finish it on, we do this week to week and do it by December 3rd. Obviously, we won't be starting season 5 after that because it will be, you know, the end of the year. And then it's, with this, it's really just a case of, okay, what else is coming out that's actually scheduled? Because obviously this isn't scheduled. We can do this whenever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, when other stuff comes back that we're covering. Because I was doing this on the Gen V things. I was looking at, it was on the, either on that or it was on the Hear Me Raw podcast, because I was talking about Yellow Jacket's fourth season being next year. Because when it comes to, because we're having two Game of Thrones shows next year, right? I mean, with Night of the Seven Kingdoms at the moment, I don't have any. I'm good to watch the show, but in terms of like podcasting on it, I don't know yet, because we've also just got House of the Dragon to do, and there's, I think, two more seasons left of that. We know Last of Us isn't till 27, because it doesn't even start filming till next year. I think for something like Pluribus, which, by the way, obviously is very connected, not in terms of canon, but obviously it's the new Vince Gilligan show, which starts next week. Could do some sort of season thing for that. We've also kind of got to decide what we're doing with Walking Dead. Even I've fallen like a little bit behind on some of those episodes. Not majorly, but on that. We've got no more like main Walking Dead. But then we've also got, I suppose, the choice of, because it's more just waiting for dates for certain things. Because, okay, we know House of Dragon is probably next year, but we don't know when. It could be April, May, June.
It's probably, yeah, April, May, June-ish, probably.
And while we can cover more than one show at a time, it's not always the best thing to do. But it's also, I guess we got the choice for season 5 to make, and we don't have to make the choice yet. Because it was split into two halves of 8... because 16 in a row sounds like a lot of podcasts to do, and it was also supposed to be a mid-season cliffhanger with episode 8, but do we do it of like, let's say hypothetically next year we do the first run of 8, and then the year after that we do the next lot of 8, because trying to do 16 of the same thing in a row, that does sound, I mean, you know, it's covering television, but still, we'll have to wait and see how that goes, I suppose. But no, you don't have to wait for us to finish Breaking Bad, because like we've just said, that could be next year or the year after, or I don't know when.
Yeah, it depends when we get right to it.
So. Yeah, it depends how certain things line up. So, but no, you're probably fine to start Better Call Saul. I mean, it might be a little bit, what you might want to do is, okay, wait for us to finish at least this portion of Breaking Bad, and then in the break between, let's say, doing this and going back for season 5, then do Better Call Saul, unless you're fine with watching two shows from the same thing at the same time. But then it's also one's a prequel and this is like supposed to be the current day bit, so is that going to kind of, it's up to you what you decide to do. So, but my I guess my recommendation would be wait for us to sit with us while we do the rest of this fourth season, and then could even start, you know, Better Call Saul over Christmas, whatever. We could even watch the whole thing maybe by the time we come back for season five. It just depends. But that's my recommendation. What do you think, David, this person should do?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything majorly spoilery in Better Call Saul for Breaking Bad, because I mean it's really a prequel, so I mean there is some stuff in it towards the end of the seasons which is set after Breaking Bad.
Yes,
but it so that sort of involves what happens with Saul, though, not what happens with any of the other characters. So but I can't remember whether there's maybe lines in there that give things away or what. So I mean with that
I don't think there's much of that until the later seasons.
I
remember quite a few black and white taxi scenes that had like very vague kind of like parts. I don't think that really spoils things. So
I mean, I certainly think if you want to carry on after you do season four and don't want to go on to season five until we do, you could certainly start watching Better Call Saul and maybe do the first season of that, I think, without having anything spoiled in Breaking Bad, I think.
Yes.
But I'm not 100% on that, but I think so.
Don't watch El Camino, though.
Yes. No, don't watch El Camino don't watch the movie El Camino until after the end of season five. So,
For definite. So, Pluribus you can watch because it's got nothing to do with Breaking Bad. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that next week. So, and Andy says, first time, long time, welcome. Thought I'd chime in on the rooting for a character discussion. I, in fact, am rooting for Walt to succeed, but not necessarily for Heisenberg. Might be too late for that, we'll see. First time through the show, I want him to quit while he's ahead at some point. And in brackets, you said there isn't much left of the show now, end brackets. So let's see. That it makes sense that, like, you know, the family man Walter White, you want that guy to succeed, but the closer and closer we get to literally becoming Heisenberg, because that's, you know, the bossy drug kingpin guy who's gaining too much power. Oh, I just remembered the scene. I was going to say, I should have said this at the top of the show. There was a scene in this episode, I remember that we missed in the notes. It was the one where he goes for his cancer scan.
Yes.
Because now that we're talking about Heisenberg and Walt and stuff, I just remember that. That was quite a good one as well. Sorry that we kind of missed over that one.
We glossed over one of Jesse's scenes as well, where they go, where Jesse and Saul go to the girlfriend's house, or Saul goes to the girlfriend's house. So, I mean, there was a huge amount in that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it just says to him, like, hey, if you really want to know, you should go in there. So, apologies for missing those. I knew there were some scenes, because I was scrolling through these notes yesterday when I was, like, trying to clean them up, and I thought, I think there's one or two missing in here, but unfortunate. So, just on the cancer thingamajig scene as well, I do like the sort of... because that's where he starts talking about control and being in control of your own sort of destiny. So those are pretty good as well. It makes sense in a way of this guy who's sort of like too power hungry. Said that the wrong way. And sort of is getting a bit ahead of himself. You don't necessarily want to root for that guy, but the nice family man that Walt still can be from time to time. Like when he's talking to Walt Jr. and all that sort of thing, that you want that man to succeed. What else did you say here? First time through the show, want him to quit while he's ahead. I can't remember yet if Skylar has said that to him, but conversations like that do come up at different points. I mean, again, when you go back to the bedroom scene we were talking about from a couple of episodes ago, the sort of I am the danger, you get that sense from her anyway of sort of, I don't know who this guy is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's the nervous parts of those as well. So, anyway, what do you think of Andy's thoughts here?
Yeah, it'd be lovely if Walt actually decided to quit while he's ahead, but the ego on that man is never going to... that's been part of the problem. He's had multiple opportunities where he didn't need to get himself into this situation and his ego won't let him. And he's also now got the problem that, I mean, it's not like he can just walk away from Gus at this point. You know, because if he's not cooking for him, what use is he? You may as well just kill him. So, I mean, he is in a difficult position right now. Not that he sees that, because I don't think he wants to quit. And there is a reason we call this podcast Becoming Heisenberg, and not The Redemption of Walt. So, you know, yeah. I mean, it's a lovely idea, but...
yes. What was I going to say to that as well? But yeah, that's, I guess, the case with him. So, oh yeah, I remember what I was going to say. So in terms of the whole quitting while he's ahead thing, he kind of... I can't remember, because I remember at the start of the show, I can't remember what the numbers were, but he sort of goes, right, I've got inoperable lung cancer, I can do this and earn this much money. And I remember he comes up with a number of sort of, this will put the kids through school, this will do this, this will do that. And initially it was kind of, it's maybe not the correct number, but he comes up with like, I need 700 million, or I can't remember what it was, but he comes up with an actual goal of a number. Clearly he's gone miles and miles past whatever that number was, because as they point out with the whole money hiding thing, that they've essentially got too much and they can't also funnel it through the car wash, and they've got that problem right now. So you could argue that, because I don't know if he's, I can't remember if he's reached that number yet or if he had already done that and he's just kind of kept going. But with him saying, like, you know, earning about 7 million a year or something and then just having way too much money, yeah, so but I suppose, like, because I suppose the problem with that also, because they do also have a deal right now with Gus that they reach a certain quota every month, don't they? Because initially it's kind of just Jesse and Walt doing their thing and no one's like giving them things to do, but then because Gus comes in and is like, hey, you can come and go as you please, and as long as you reach a certain quota for each month, like a certain amount of meth, certain amount of money, whatever, then you won't be in trouble. I think, like, for right now, him trying to walk away from, you know, obviously the situation with Gus and everything isn't really good, especially with Gail being dead, because that's just not really going to work. So, yeah, you got that going on as well, I suppose. Any other thoughts on that?
No, I think we've covered most of it. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's the end of the feedback, the end of the episode. Yeah, I've already told you how you can write in and stuff. Let us know if you've seen... again, don't spoil it. Let us know if you have seen El Camino as well. I think we did cover that many years ago when that did come out. Of course, we've covered Better Call Saul as well. And we're doing this for Breaking Bad. So yeah, write in, let us know your thoughts on all those bits and bobs and whatever else. In the meantime, you can find all the other different content that we do on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. The same name for TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. United Cast is probably next. Again, depends on how the 3 o'clock goes, because, you know, blackout rules and whatnot, because we still do that for some weird reason. Anyway, that's that going on. I think we've only got 2 regular series right now, which is 3, United Cast, Gaming Talk, and Breaking Bad, and then there's going to be other, you know, film, show, game reviews, things like that. Anyway, if you want to support what we're doing, I just told you where you can find all the content, so go over there. Word of mouth, social media, Yeah, do all that, and if you'd like to, and of course, if someone mentions something we podcast on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. David, that's your stuff, and you went to MCM this week or this weekend?
Yes, we were at MCM Comic Con in London, so no regular podcast this week, but there is an episode that went up which had some interviews out on it. So there was a couple of clips from the Boys panel, which was really, really good. That was the cast of the Boys talking a little bit about, there's a few little bits about season 5, but it was mainly them sort of just telling stories, and that was really, really good. So I put a couple of clips from that on the podcast episode, but if you go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/geektown, there is a full 20 minutes of clips from that panel from the Boys up on YouTube. In terms of other interviews, we did the cast of Rick and Morty. That went out on the podcast, and there is a video version of that on YouTube channel. We did Elias Tufexis, who some of you may know from the video game Deus Ex, where he played, I think it's Adam Jensen, is it? The lead That's character for that.
Think so.
Yes. And he also played Sam Coe in Starfield, and he was La'ak, I think that's how you pronounce it, in Star Trek Discovery. Do you remember there was La'ak and Mol, who were the
two?
Yeah, those two. he plays La'ak in that. But yeah, they were
just brought a memory back.
I'd rather like to be that, but he was fascinating. He's a very talented voice actor and an actor, really, really nice guy. So I put that interview on the podcast as well. But in addition to those, the other MCM stuff that we've got video for up on the YouTube channel, there was also I spoke with the developers of Anno 117, which is the new video game. They were great. The cast of Final Fantasy Rebirth, so we did a video with them. Cast of Has-Been Hotel, Christopher Mintz-Platz, who is apparently one of the voices of How to Train Your Dragon, but Superbad, where he played McLovin, is probably what he's best known for. But he's been in a bunch of other things as well. So you can see him, there's a video with him up there. That's hilarious, that interview. So, yeah, there were lots and lots of videos and interviews and stuff from MCM. And there's cosplay photos as well up on the website if you want to go and check those out. So there's lots and lots of stuff from MCM. And, of course, geektown.co.uk, lots of news over there of things returning and being renewed and lots of stuff coming back. So, yeah, lots of things around. If you want to go and check that out, geektown.co.uk.
Excellent. Go and check all that out. Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk through the week for the TV and film news posts. You can find our stuff as well over on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. We don't post that like much kind of stuff over there, but you can check out various different clips and streams and whatnot if you'd like to over there. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.